Welcome to the Dundee LM podcast. We're thrilled to have you join us today. This podcast is a space where we explore faith, community, and inspiration. Whether you're tuning in during your morning commute or relaxing at home, we hope you find encouragement and insight in our discussions. Today, we're diving into the Lord's Prayer sermon series, so let's get started.
Prayer is important, an important part of our lives. Prayer can be an added option. Do you know, when you're filling in your, as I did when I do my car insurance, do you want these options added? Breakdown recovery, legal services, and you get the chance. I always look at the price, well, how much it's going to cost me. And I say, no, don't need it. Just give me the basics. But you know, in a Christian life, prayer is important. And if I was to ask this morning, where are you with prayer? Where are you with prayer? Now, some, even if I could see bubbles coming above heads, you'll be thinking, goodness, I am nowhere with prayer, or I struggle with prayer, or you feel guilty with prayer. When you hear people talking about, oh, wow, I spent 3 hours in the presence of God praying this morning, and you're like, goodness, I've not even prayed this week. And so where are you with prayer? And the truth is that many people, we feel guilty when it comes to prayer. We feel maybe even unworthy. We've had a messed up week. So how can we come before God into his presence when we have been acting or doing stuff there? We've not got enough time. What do I pray? How do I pray? There are so many areas, so many questions, so many things, baggage that we can take on regarding prayer. And yet it's one of the most vital things that we need to build into the life of our own lives. For me, it's been a journey. Do you know, I came from not having any time to pray, not wanting to pray. I remember the many times in prayer meetings, never said a word. Always hated it when someone would pray a massive big prayer and you were next. Do you remember those days when they just tapped you on the shoulder? Okay, it's you. It's your turn. And you're like, no, don't want to say anything. Prayer. But prayer is a blessing. Prayer is important to our lives. And my prayer, my hope is that as we journey with this, what we're going to be talking about today, that you will be on a road to discovery, because it is a journey. It is a journey, and my prayer is that we would indeed just build something into our life, that prayer into our life in one way or another, that it will become just that discipline of prayer. We're going to be starting a new series today, The Lord's Prayer. We're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer. Many of us, well, certainly us that are older, they remember in our school times when every morning we would stand, the teacher would say, everyone stand, and we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. We would do that, yeah. Our young people, we actually did this in school. And then they took prayer out of school. But we remember it. We remember saying it. Many of us even now can remember it because it's an easy prayer. And so over the weeks, the next 6-7 weeks, we're going to be looking at each line of the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to put a subject matter over as a heading or as an umbrella over it. Because the Lord's Prayer can speak into so many areas of our lives. Security. Do you know, in this prayer, it talks about our security. We have a Father in heaven who cares for us and watches over us. He is not aloof from us. He is not caught by surprise over our, we go missing, that we get out of his eyesight. He is always there caring for us, so we can have that security in God. We're going to be looking at the holiness of God, God's name and his character. He is our loving Heavenly Father. He is the one that cares for us. He is our friend. He loves us, but yet he is also a holy God. He is a holy God. Surrender and submission. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Many of us is, Lord, let my will be done on this earth. Let my will be done. But get into a place where we can surrender all to Jesus and say, your will be done. Provision. Give us our daily bread. Forgiveness. Forgive us our sins. Spiritual warfare, temptation and deliverance from evil. And authority. His kingdom. His power. His glory. So there is so many things that we can get out of this prayer. We can pray it privately. We can pray it publicly as well. Each week before we get into the heart of the message, we're all going to stand and we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. Don't be fearful of liturgy or where we just stand and say words there. I believe that there is power over the words that we speak. And you know, each time as we pray these things, I believe it's going to go from our head to our heart as we unpack some of these things that's in the Lord's Prayer. We're going to have different speakers speaking on a part of the prayer as well. Memorize it. Pray it. Do you know, I recorded me praying it. It took me about 45 seconds to pray the Lord's Prayer. One of the things I normally do, I carry a cross in my pocket. And when I put my hand in my pocket, feel the cross, I just take 30 seconds, 45 seconds, and I say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And again, for me, it just brings my mind and my life back into that alignment that God is Lord over my life. That He, because again, life is busy, life is hectic, and we could possibly just go weeks, months without even giving God a thought. Is that possible? I don't know. But we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. So would you stand with me? We're going to put it on the screen, hopefully. There. Can everyone read it? If you can't read it from the back, you need your eyes checked. So let's pray it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And I know there's different versions of this. You can be seated. So I just thought I'd put one up that I can understand there. The Lord's Prayer, found in Matthew and in Luke. In Matthew, where we're going to be reading from, before teaching the prayer, Jesus talks about prayer and the attitudes of prayer. Do you know, it is important to have the right attitude in regard to prayer, that we're not just praying all the things that we want, our desires. It's not coming before God with our Christmas list, as it were, and saying, God, I want this and I want that and I want this and I want this. God, give me that discovery. God, I'm praying for that discovery, that Ford discovery. Give me that. It's not just, God blesses our life. But we have to come before God with that right attitude of prayer. And here we have a reading from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you. Wow, what a powerful, scary thought. That as we don't release forgiveness, God doesn't release forgiveness to us. Jesus gives some instructions about prayer. Praying in secret. Our personal prayer life, getting into a room before him, not always. Yes, we love praying publicly, we love praying corporately when we get together, but most times you are on your own in your home or wherever you are. And this is a time when we can come before God and seek him. Their prayer is and was important to the life of the followers of Jesus. Prayer is important. The Word of God talks about the importance of prayer. Luke chapter 18, be faithful in prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, keep on praying. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer. And as I said, we do live in times when it's a demanding world. Busy, busy, busy. And if we let the world, if we let ourselves be caught up with that, we are going to burn out. We are going to burn out. We are going to get tired. If we're not praying, the closeness, the intimacy that we can have with God will get wider. That gap. Someone once says that you become intimate to whom you pray. So as we pray to God, it just deepens that relationship. It also talks about we become intimate with whom we pray, which is why it's so important, I believe, for husbands and wives to be praying together. Because there is a deepening of relationships as you come before God and praying together. And let me tell you, this is a lot harder for couples coming together. Annette and I, we struggled for years of actually praying together. And the longer we left it, when we decided, okay, we need to be praying together, you were a bit embarrassed about your voice as you prayed. You were just a bit kind of, but you know, we had to work at it. We had to get to a place where we prayed together. And that does bring intimacy. And you become intimate for whom you pray. I believe there's a deepening of relationships. So if you, which is why Jesus tells us, pray for your enemies. You know, if you've got an issue with someone, begin praying for them. Begin praying for them. I would probably guarantee that your attitude towards them will change as you begin to pray for them. So prayer is busy. We live in a demanding, busy, busy world. Jesus as well. I mean, Jesus, his time on earth, so many people needed him. So many people needed Jesus. So many people needed healed. So many people needed to hear the good news. But yet Jesus took his time. He was away at night, praying all night, silent with himself. He was praying during the day. He got up early in the morning, and Jesus knew the importance of finding that time to pray. So praying in secret, praying sincerely. We've got to be sincere. Oh, omnipotent, heavenly, wonderful, omniscient Father, I come before thy throne of grace. Do you know what I mean? Filling in all the words. Do you know, it's a simple language coming before God. Do you know, Jesus again talked about the difference between the Pharisee and the tax collector. There, we have to become sincere before God, not self-righteous. As the Pharisee came and he says, Lord God, I thank you that I am not like other people. God, I am not like those heathens or those hypocrites. And yet there was this tax collector, his prayer was, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What a prayer. What a prayer. You want somewhere to start? Start there. But it's the heart, it is the sincerity. They are not many, many long words or just lengthy. I know that I can preach lengthy. I can talk forever, as many people, well, certainly Annette would tell me, Stephen, enough. You've said it. Why are you saying it again? So I know I can talk lots of words. But coming before God, he's looking at our heart. He's looking at our sincerity there. Simple and direct. And for many of us, we wonder, are we actually praying God's will? Are we praying God's will? God, am I praying in line with what you want and not with what I want? Well, the way that you can know you're praying God's will is by praying the prayers, I believe, in the Bible. And again, as I always say, if you've got an emergency or you need some prayers to pray, there is, as we need an emergency today, 999, then you can go to Ezra chapter 9, Daniel chapter 9, and I knew I was going to forget the END, Nehemiah chapter 9. Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah chapter 9. Great prayers of the Bible. And here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus actually comes and says, this is how you should pray. Who needs it simple as that? This is how you should pray. The disciples came to him in Luke 11. It says, Jesus teaches us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples, we want you to teach us to pray. And I got wondering, I got thinking, when Jesus was out praying, what was the disciples doing? What were they doing? Were they praying? Or were they just going about doing their daily stuff? And Jesus was out there praying and seeking the Father, having communion with the Father. And so they saw something, I believe, in Jesus, something in the disciples of John, the Baptist, that they says, we need to be praying. And so probably wondered, well, how do we do it? And so they come to Jesus and say, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus says, this is how you should pray. This is a pattern for prayer. God was into part, the tabernacle was a pattern that God had set up through Moses as he built the tabernacle. And Jesus has given us a pattern to pray. And again, not just that we just say it as a formula, just say the Lord's Prayer and hope that things happen. But as we pray this prayer, that we begin to understand each part of the prayer about our, as we're talking today, our Father in heaven. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he says, I have always been comforted by the thought that whatever I may forget in my own private prayers, as long as I pray the Lord's Prayer, I have covered at any rate all the principles, the conditions, of course, that I am not merely mechanically repeating the words, but I am really praying from my heart and with my mind and with my whole being. Praying, if you don't know how to pray, pray the Lord's Prayer. Start there. In the very first line, our Father who is in heaven. The modern consensus as the Lord's Prayer begins with that word, Abba, Father. It is intimate. Traditional synagogue prayers, they become God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, God of our fathers, Mighty One, Builder of Jerusalem. They would come with these prayers. And here's Jesus coming and saying, Father, Father, Father. The Lord's Prayer and saying our Father, I believe, brings that affirmation that if we have a Father, then we have a family. That we have the family of God, with God as our Father. And this includes all believers. You're in the family. You're in the family. Do you know, even in our natural family, we can feel out of place. We can feel that we are not the favorite. Anyone ever felt like that? I would always wind my middle brother, Frankie. You all know Frankie as he comes. Frankie, you were the favorite. You're my mum and dad's favorite. And he would say, no, Stephen, you're the favorite. And I could say, I can guarantee I was not the favorite. But we all want to feel part. The world, I believe, is searching to be part of something, a family, a connection where they will be accepted, where they will be loved, and where they can love as well. And so God, as our Heavenly Father, over us, we become the family of God, and anyone can come into the family. It's not through culture or race or racial. It is the family of God. We are the family of God. Isn't God good that he can bring people so diverse from all over the world, from rich, poor, coming together to worship Jesus together? No one more important than the other. That's good news. Well, I think it, Derek, I think it's good news. There. God is our Father, and that's why I can say there is security in that, because he is our loving Heavenly Father. We are a community of believers. The person beside you is your brother or sister. They are part of the family of God. Come on, turn to someone and say, you're part of the family of God. Come on, waken them up. Waken them up. You're part of it. You're in. You are in. You're part of the family of God. Jesus is addressing God as Abba, Daddy, which, again, as I mentioned last week, would be offensive maybe to some of the religious leaders, that how can you approach God in that intimate way? And yes, God can be approached in that way. He is our loving Heavenly Father. We will see next week that his name is holy. And we're going to be talking about the fear of God. We're going to be talking about the awe of God as well. And so that's one you don't want to miss there. We have been adopted into the family of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. And we can all together, as Romans says, cry, Abba, Father. God is the perfect Father. And again, we do live in a world. We do live probably even in this meeting this morning that people who have had maybe difficulties with their father. Some fathers have been absent. Some fathers have been abusive. Some fathers we've not had a good relationship. Some fathers are aloof from showing any emotion. As you all know, my dad struggled with showing any emotion whatsoever. As I said, once a year, he would shake my hand and say, son, you know, I love you. No hugs. I am in a place now where I make sure I give my mum and my dad a hug. We tell them that we love them. But, you know, and again, he learned from his past. It was just perpetuating. And so when you hear the word father, there is things in our mind that just conjure up. We start to remember our earthly fathers. That word father brings, oh, I had a terrible father. I had a good father. I had a perfect father. There is no perfect father other than Father God. He is our loving Heavenly Father who is for us, not against us. He is there to care for us, to help us, and that we can approach him. And yes, that's why this morning, that we can have confidence, as I read, to come before him, the throne of grace, before our loving Heavenly Father. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. Jesus, by calling God Father, Father, who is in heaven, he's making it personal. He's bringing it down to our level. that we can have a relationship with our loving Heavenly Father. And again, the Bible makes distinctions between those that are not belonging to God and those that are. You know, Jesus, as he talked to the religious leaders, you are of your father, the devil. I mean, who would want Jesus saying that to them? I mean, as they were coming to try and trip up Jesus there, but there is people, there is those that belong to him. Father, Jesus' prayer in John 17, isn't it? When he says, Father, make them one as we are in one. Father, those that you have given me, and so we belong to Christ. He has called us by name. If you're a believer here this morning, you have been called by name. You are his. You're his. You are his. Authority, intimacy, care of a loving Father. And as you'll see next week, we don't want to lose that reverent awe of God. Because he is holy. He is holding creation together. He created the universe. He is holding it together. Jesus, I think, as he said, Father in heaven, he was showing us how big God is and how small we are. You know, we don't have all the answers. You know, we are not all-knowing. And let me tell you a secret. Don't let anyone else know this. Your pastor doesn't know everything. Your leaders don't know everything. I can't be there at all different places at the one time. But God can. He is all-knowing. He is all-knowing. He's ever present in our times of trouble. That's why we can all cry before God and he hears every single prayer. That is how big God is. Do you know, as you look at just the universe, do you know, who did the video series? Louis Giglio, as he just took all the planets and the Milky Way, and showed you as you went into the galaxies, and here's our galaxy, and then there's another galaxy, then there's another galaxy, and it shows you where Earth is. They call it the pale blue dot there, and it's just this needle dot, so tiny, in amongst this galaxy. And that's just one galaxy. It's not all the galaxies. And then it says, and you go to the Psalms, it talks about God holding the galaxies and the palm of his hands, holding it together. And you think, wow, how big is God? And how small are we? But yet, God was mindful of us. That he came and he loved us. And he wanted to be our Heavenly Father, to care for his children, to love us back to life, to set us free from all the stuff that we pick up through life, that he is someone that we can depend on, our Father in heaven, our Father, intimacy, security in heaven, his majesty, it's a reminder of God's sovereign rule over all things. You know, even now there is worship going on in heaven. And it's longer than 30 minutes. And they don't have Fonny leading them in worship. We've got her. But there is worship going on in heaven 24/7. In fact, I don't even know if you can say that about heaven, can you? Because there's no time in heaven. All day, all night, worship of Jesus. Jesus who sits on the throne. And the angels crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. This same Jesus, God who they are worshiping, is our Heavenly Father. Wow. This fallible mind can't comprehend just how much God has done for us, who he is. And that's why I believe God reveals bit by bit. You know, how many of us, as we have just been reading our Bible or praying, and then suddenly we just get, wow, I never saw that. God just reveals more of himself to us, that he loves us and he cares for us. The Lord's Prayer, an introduction and looking at the first line. So what would be my encouragement? What would be my challenge for you? What is it that I would like for you to take away today? To be thinking about building prayer into your life. Thinking about your prayer life. And yes, there may be people here and you have got a consistent prayer life. Praise God. It's taken me a long time to get there, but I do, and I'm not boasting, but I have built into my life a consistent prayer life. I spend my time with God because I know that if I don't, I'm going to be playing catch up with everything else. And so find somewhere, find a space, find a chair, find a table, outside, a place where you can just say, this is my place. Do you know, in my office there, I have a chair that sits in the corner. That's my chair. And I can sometimes find myself rushing to get to that chair in the morning. And again, it's just a chair. It's a chair out of the Heart Foundation. I don't know if it's real leather, but it's a chair. It's a comfy chair. Cost me £1. What a bargain. When I saw it, I paid for that, stuck it in my car without even asking Annette if I could buy it. I knew it wouldn't go in the house. It was going in my office. And you know, when I sit in that chair, that's my space. That's my time with God. And do I hear God more sitting in that chair than other places? Well, I don't know. But I am more postured to hear God in that chair. I also have a place in Balgay Park. I do my run in Balgay Park there. And I found, and again, you might be thinking, weird. But there's a large gravestone, but it's the shape of a Celtic cross. And when I'm out running and then I finish, I just walk up that hill and I just stand just around that cross and I look at it and I just say, God, I thank you for the cross. I thank you that you love me. It's just my place. It's just my place, my space. And so my encouragement, I want you to pray, God, help me to find a place. It could be in the car at lunchtime, is what I had to do when I worked for Royal Mail. Lunchtime, I was in my car. That was my space. Don't start with 2 hours or an hour. Start with a minute. Start with the Lord's Prayer. Start with the Lord's Prayer. Do you know, if we can pray consistently 1 minute each time, each day, do you know, I think sometimes that could be better than maybe piling everything into an hour once a month. And we are going to be gathering here once a month. But what I'm trying to say is, trying to encourage you is to be looking at prayer and building some way into your life, that consistent prayer time where you come before your Father in heaven and just begin. And I would encourage you, the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. Husbands and wives, do you know, sit down, pray the Lord's Prayer over your lives, over your house. Friends, as you're meeting for coffee, as you're getting ready to go out, just say, before we go, let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Do you know, maybe you're out walking in the park. Just stop and pray the Lord's Prayer. And just take time just to wait. And maybe God will say something. You may think in your head, it's just I'm just praying my head. But I'll tell you, as you consistently do that, I believe you will begin to see things changing in your life. So I want to encourage you, get before God, find a place and make it your place. You know, we're talking about consecration. We've been talking about consecration of our lives. We're talking about consecration of our churches. You know, you can, I believe, as you find your space, if it's a chair or a table, you can consecrate that place. You're setting that aside as a place where you will hear from God. And it could be simple, like, God, as I sit at this table, Lord, I just consecrate this place as a place where I am going to encounter you in Jesus' name. So you're bringing that attitude of prayer into your space there. So we're going to have a great journey over these next few weeks of just discovering more about the Lord's Prayer and what it means for us. But prayer. Where are you with prayer?
Thank you for listening to the Dundee Elim podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation and found it uplifting. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and share this episode with others. Remember, you can join us in person for services every Sunday from 10:30 to 12:30 and connect with our community on social media or our website. Until next time, stay blessed and keep shining your light.